Can I close this? How it works. H-O-W. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I'm Mike, I'm an alcoholic and drug addict. My clean date, my sober date is November 9th, 1998. In October 27th, I came back from a six-month morphine trip. It was prescribed medicine, but, you know, so as far as what got me into Austin recovery back in November 9th, 1998, it was alcohol and drugs. So you guys, you know, be the judge. To thy own self be true. So I'm telling you what's going on. My story is about 5 minutes long. Actually, I can make it about 1 minute and 43 seconds. You know, I drank up till I couldn't drink anymore. And, no, had my first drink at 15, and I liked it. And I puked three times, and I got drunk, and I woke up, and I did it again. And once I started, I couldn't stop, and that's the way I drank from 15 till I was 51 years old. In between, I smoked everything, and I shot everything, and I, how else do you do it? Oh, ate everything. And when they said, what's your drug of choice, I said, more. Because I could never get enough, and that's the way I am. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a drug addict from hell. But I don't use anymore, and I don't drink anymore. And that's a miracle of the 12 steps. If you work the program, no applause, please, because you'll embarrass the hell out of me. And my ego is big enough without, you know, I'm trying to deflate. After 18 and a half years, what are you laughing at? There's Mr. Ego right here, my buddy. I look at some of these people that are sitting out here, and, you know, today on Facebook, to the people that are my friends, I said, come on out to the ranch tonight, alumni, and share with us, because this isn't my deal. I didn't start the alumni. I was a member of the original seven men and women that started this program. The man that had the idea's name was Art Simmons. Art Simmons was my aftercare counselor at Stratford House. Stratford House is where I sobered up. Most of y'all don't know where Stratford House was or is, but the ones that do, do. Before we moved to Cross Park, we was at Rio Grande, MLK, yes ma'am. Room 201. 28 days, 5.5 hours sleep. That's all I did, 5.5 hours of sleep. They can't. I detoxed in treatment without medication. They looked at the thing and said, he'd been smoking a lot of crack. But they didn't see the thing that said he'd been drinking a fifth of vodka every day, too. So, you know, and then when they said detox, I said, what's that? Because I never ran out. And when I went through detox, I detoxed in treatment without medication. So, you know, I've been there, done that, graduated, and got the T-shirt. I can empathize with anyone because we've all been there, but you're never going to get any sympathy out of me because this is life and death. We either do this or we don't. We either do them 12 steps as described in that big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, or that NA book, 12 Steps, or however 12 steps you want to go through. But if you are the real deal, meaning a real alcoholic slash and or drug addict, the 12 steps might be vital to your recovery, and vital means life. Hey, so, you know, that's my story. I don't know about y'all. So, 9 months into this thing we were doing aftercare over at Stratford House, and after how many months? 12 weeks, you graduated, and if you wanted to, became a peer member. And back then, we didn't have this. We would meet once a month. It's been so damn long ago, I don't even remember. But we would meet annually at Stratford House, and that's the only place that we had. And after that, when they branched out, they moved to Cross Park 9 months later in June of 1999. All right, so one day we're sitting around August 12th, we decided, Art Simmons came up with the idea about why don't y'all start an alumni? And at the time, there was like seven of us. There was one guy, his name was Doug Scott. He had 11 months sober. There was another guy named John Kendall. John Kendall had 8 months sober. There's another guy named Mike Peck. He had nine months sober. There was another lady named Melinda Bowman. She had 11 months sober. There's another one named Michelle Fitzsimmons. She had 11 months sober. And there's another guy named Jimmy Horowitz, and he had 7 months sober. Whoa. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I didn't even have to look at my cheat sheet. So we're sitting around the corner, and there was one man in particular that don't get mentioned anymore. His name was Bill Wigmore. And Bill Wigmore is the one that kept this place alive. If it wasn't for Bill Wigmore back in 1995, we wouldn't be here. Austin McCurry went to hell in a handbasket. Some people were ripping off the money, and they went to federal prison, and they were shut down for 3 years. In 1995, Bill Wigmore came in and reopened the place from scratch. In 1998, I got there August 12th. August 12th. No, what was that address? What was that date? August 12th, 1999. August 12th, 1999. Y'all want to write it down? You know what address? You know what date that is? It's the day we had our first Austin Recovery alumni meeting. What date was that? August 12th, 1999. Now you got it. Since that day, here we are. How do we keep open? We kept coming back. Like the lady said, that presented to the sweet lady that introduced me. She said, Austin Recovery saved her life. Austin Recovery saved my life. I got intervened. My plan was smoke crack cocaine, drink vodka till I die. That's how I got the treatment through an intervention. So I wasn't planning on being here. But that was my plan. And as it comes to premonition, as it turns out, you know, somebody else had another plan. Somebody else had another plan for all of us, because we're all sitting here tonight, all right? And that's all we got is tonight. Is there a clock in here? Oh, yeah, it is. Look at here. Is it, July 9th? Is that right? Yes, Sunday night, 8:45 p.m. 7:45 p.m., but who's counting? On the East Coast, it's 8:45. 2017, right here, right now, right this minute, ladies and gentlemen, everything is okay. It don't matter how you feel, and it don't matter what you're thinking. This is a program of action, of doing. The mind is what got us here. So what's going on in your minds, it don't count. What you're thinking, you don't have to act on it. They told me if you got a thought, just to, you know, do the opposite. They told me in the beginning, don't think. That sign on the wall says think. They said that ain't for you. You just do the book. I was not a happy camper when I got sober. I was a pissed off son of a bitch. And you can tell. I protruded it very good. Because that's the way we keep you away from me. And I wouldn't have to deal with you. You know, we got all our ups and our downs and all that kind of stuff. But we get here. We don't get to recovery on a high note. You know, I didn't come skipping through the doors whistling Dixie because I heard the coffee was good. I got to a place called North and AA Club 1988 on a trick. My friend thought he was bringing me to another bar. I thought he was bringing me to another bar, and he drove me to an AA meeting on a Sunday night with a pink card and didn't have a signature one. And the next morning, I had to go see Judge Perkins on my third DWI, and I was drinking. So we went to Northland, and I walked in there. In about 2 seconds, I said, well, where's the bar? And he says, it's a coffee bar over here. I said, where the hell are we? He said, you're at AA meeting. He said, well, AA meeting? Well, hell, when I was here, well, I was going to sit down. I got half a buzz going anyway, but we better make this quick because I got to go finish the job. So we sat down for an hour, and I didn't hear a thing because it took me about 10 seconds to figure out I was not in the right place because I was not done drinking and drugging. And until you get to that point, you're not at the bottom. And the bottom is as low as you want to go. You know, and some of us die. A lot of us die. And a very small percentage of us recovered from that hopeless state of mind and body. But the only way to do that, if you're the real deal, the only way I was able to do it was to take the 12 steps on the wall, and they're not on the damn wall. They're on the wall somewhere. In the other room. They're in the book. They're in the book, yeah. And does everybody know what I'm talking about, 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous? Huh? Who doesn't know what the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are? Who doesn't know what Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is? Or Narcotics Anonymous, depending on what floats your boat. Okay, so we know what 12 Steps are, and we know what the book is. So if you read the book, first 164 pages, and follow it and take to go through the 12 steps, you might have the opportunity not to drink and drug again in this lifetime. And you don't ever have to get another damn darn desire chip. And you don't ever have to live the way you was living before. And that's the truth, because there's a lot of people in this room that are shining examples of that, living a life clean and sober. Okay, I'm throwing a little of this and a little of that in just to make it interesting. So I gave you the originals, and in August, let's see, we moved out here, I think, was sometime after that. They moved from Stratford House to Cross Park. And then from Cross Park, we went to the ranch. We came back out to the ranch. And in the beginning, the men and women were, you know, they didn't have all these buildings. They had this building, and they had the Hicks, the main building, and the one next door, and this little building in the back, and there was this building over here. I used to listen to Fifth Steps over here, and I listened to Fifth Steps in this little building back here. And I listened to Fifth Steps in here, and I listened to Fifth Steps in there, and I listened to Fifth Steps at Cross Park, and I listened to Fifth Steps at the place out there at the lodge, and I listened to about 2,500 Fifth Steps in 14 years. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed sober, because I listened to people's Fifth Steps, and I never told anybody nothing about them. There was one guy that, you know, he did something that I'll never forget. And it was three guys. When I used to listen to a Fifth Step, I used to sit down before. So, okay, before we start, I got one question for you. It's a yes or no answer. Have you ever had sexual intercourse with any farm animals?
What did you say?
I said, yes or no answer. Well, hell no. And I said, well, hell yeah. Well, now you can tell me anything. And he said, well, what if I had said yes? And I said, will you still do it? And he said, no. I said, well, now you can tell me anything. What if I still did it? I said, now you can tell me anything. The point is, we're only as sick as our secrets. And that one secret that you came in is the one that's going to take you back out sooner or later. So, we do Fifth Steps. We come out, we used to go, Monday night, we used to come out here with four of us. There was about 14 of us. We built a thing we'd come out of Monday, and they still do this. The step study thing where they break up into four groups, y'all still do that? Do y'all still do that?
Yes.
Tuesday night or Thursday night, the guys come out, and then the first week, step one, second week, step two. You still do it? Good. Thank you for answering. Good. I'm glad y'all remember. So you know, I learned about the steps, you know, from reading the book. I didn't understand the book, so I had to have a man take me through it, and he did. And I read the book, keep reading the book, and, you know, start practicing what's in the book, first 164 pages. See, there's 25 pages of instruction in that book. Page 63 through 88, step 4 through 11. First three, I can, he can, I think I'm going to let him. And then I'm going to pick up a pen and start doing a four step and start writing. And there ain't going to be no dallying in between. And I'm going to pray for the courage and strength to put all that stuff on paper because I need to in order to stay sober. Don't want to do a lot of it. There's a lot of stuff I didn't want to do, but guess what? We do it anyway. We don't have to like it. If I want to stay clean and sober and live, I'll do the work. I was told that I'd be like, will you ready to go to any lengths? I said, yeah, I'll go to any lengths. And I did. You know, and didn't die. Here we are. All right? So, alumni, back to the alumni. There's a place that we used to go that Bill took us. Bill Wigmore, right now, the only reason I mention him is because he's about as, if there's a man in my life that has had most influence in recovery, it's him. That's my own personal experience because I've been with him for a long time. I don't see him much anymore, but we still talk on the telephone. He's an Episcopal priest now. But this man had, you know, the vision to keep this going. He was sitting there on that meeting along with Art, along with the aftercare counselor. Her name was Kathy, and the seven of us in that first meeting. And Art Simmons moved to Georgetown, and Art used to paint cars and motorcycles, and he used to paint them a lot, and he just never used a mask for a long time. And he was a little bit slow, but he was as spiritual as any man I've ever met. And I don't go bragging on other people, because that ain't what we do. Spirituality is an inside job. Gratitude is an inside job. I ain't going to tell you how grateful I am. I ain't going to tell you how damn spiritual I am, because we live it. We don't talk it. And that's just my experience. So we go through the times, and as people came and went, this thing started building. Back in, what, 02? Would you tell me? 05. Who's 02? Who told me that? Oh, the man in the back. There's a man in the back. Yeah, that fucked. And he's sitting back there in the corner, and when he walked in, I hardly recognized him because I hadn't seen him in a few years, and he's put on a few muscles. At any rate, he came in here in 02. When did you get here? 05. 05. Damn. Well, they're out there. They're out there clean and sober, a lot of them. I invited them all on Facebook, and I said, shit, I've been listening to you for 18 years, 15 years, and not more, Mike. Thanks, but, we got better things to do, like a life. So I come out, I don't come out here regularly anymore. I did this for 14 years, and then things changed. That's why I told you they changed in the beginning. Well, they also changed about 5 years ago. And but for the grace of God, Austin Recovery got back on track, and we're back again. 2 years ago, we had a reunion. Who was the coordinator? Carrie. And Robert. And Carrie works for Austin Recovery now. She worked for him back then, too, but... See, that was going to be our last reunion because we were going to close. The place was going to go under down from lack of interest. And by the grace of God, somebody said, okay, we're going to have a moment of clarity here, and we're going to ditch these people, and we're going to go back to the way it used to be and the way it used to be worked.
The way it used to be is the 12 steps of recovery and doing what y'all are doing today. I mean, you got a lot more freedoms than I ever had when I went through treatment, but it took me a while to get over that because things change, you know, and I'm old now. When I got sober, I was 51 years old, and I was still full of piss and vinegar, and now I'm 70 years old, and tank's half full. At any rate, you know, I ain't on empty. I ain't on empty, that's for sure, but that doesn't matter. You know, I'm just one drink away from a drunk and a crack pipe. There's a crack pipe at the bottom of that first bottle. And I know that, and I don't need to go any farther with that. This morning I woke up and said, keep me sober and direct my thoughts, words, actions, and deeds tonight when I could take away that ego and try to keep no cussing and try to do the think, say, and do the next right thing. And you'll take care of the results. So far, so good, huh? I ain't cussed that much, have I? Have I, Stephen?
Darn
you're good. Okay, so every anniversary, August 12th, it's a good thing to remember whatever you want to do next month. Just announce it, whatever. Because these things are important. They might not be important to you now, but they're important to me. So if they're not important to you, say, well, they're important to Mike, so we'll do it anyway. It's a joke. If y'all get a good jobs and you're ready to give back, you know, put a dollar in the can when it comes for the reunion time. You know, that we're always looking for money. Give money when you can. Give, not take. You know, when we pass a basket, I used to say, all right, first one's on us. I say, if you got money, put it in. And if it's your last meeting, don't take any money out of the basket. Help others when you can. You get through them steps, you'll be able to sponsor. You get through them steps, you'll be able to sponsor. Somebody comes in, they got you got 3 days, you got a week, you got 3 months. Somebody walks in, newcomer. Walks into wherever you are and says, I'm new, and they go get a desire chip. Suggestion is go up there and say, hey, how you doing? My name's Mike.
How you doing?
Welcome. And just shake the hand. Make them feel at home. Smile. Look them in the eye. Don't yell at them. Because that don't work. I yelled for 10 years. Nobody listened to me. But we're still here. Point being, you know, this the alumni has gone through some ups and downs, and I'm talking 99. I don't know what's that, 17 years. Damn. But people, we're here tonight, so we're doing something right. You know, it ain't like there's 500 people that are sitting here, in the audience. But my wish is that come September what? 24th reunion, when we have the annual Austin Recovery Alumni Party reunion, that's August 24th. If y'all didn't hear me, that's on a Saturday, August 24th. Mark. September 24th. That's what I said. September 24th. Mark it on your calendar. Mark it on your calendar. I'm going to be looking around now because I'm going to be here. If I ain't dead, I'm going to be here. Because that's what I do. I come back here for the reunion every year. And I come back here and mess with y'all. And once in a while, I come back and sit in the corner. Because that's where it all began. And I owe this place my life. I will never, ever turn my back on Austin Recovery. As long as I'm sucking air, it'll be a part of my life. And that's just the way it is. It's not that way for everybody. And once in a while, you know, we go out and we move and we do this, we get married, have kids, yada, yada. But, you know, if we can make a commitment to maybe come back here once a month, second Sunday in every month. How about that? Third Sunday in every month. Once a month. I'm going to make a commitment to myself and to the man upstairs. Because if I make a commitment to you, it don't count. I can tell y'all anything and do something else. But when I'm talking to the man upstairs, and this for this alcoholic and drug addict today, that's the truth. You know, and sometimes, you know, we get sick and sometimes we forget. So, you know, I write everything down. I need to. I got to write, shut up. He's laughing at me. The guy thinks he knows me or something. Actually, I know that man pretty well. I've known him for 12 years. Through thick and thin. Stephen Sheehan. What a piece of work. But then again, Mike Peck. That's two of us. You know, when I look around and I look at some people and say, damn, man, he finally got it. You didn't die. You got it. You didn't die. And then I look around and there's some people I don't see anymore. And some of them died sober. Sam Derrick. He ain't around no more. He's one of those guys that came through here years ago. There's a lot of people. And I ain't going to expound on the people that ain't here because this is happy, joyous, and free. Now, happy. Right now, I'm happy because I feel it between my ears. Joy comes from the heart. And I got a big heart, and it's full of joy. And freedom. Freedom from the bondage of self. Never going to do that one, but it's a lot better than it used to be. And I woke up this morning instead of coming to, and I want to go to sleep tonight instead of passing out. And right here, right now, right this minute, I don't need or want anything to change the way I feel. So that's where we get after we do the work, which is the 12 steps. So if you want what we got, you do what we do. It's pretty simple. But it ain't easy. We got to do some work. You ain't going to be sitting there on your osmosis and get this stuff. Asses and get it by osmosis. Is that the way it goes? That's another joke. I love sobriety. And if you love it, you got to act like it. And when I wanted to borrow what I mentioned about gratitude, it's an attitude. You know, everybody's got an attitude. I got an attitude. But if you see me, I try to say hello. I try to do this. I try to do, give instead of take. And this is what the root of the problem is, selfish, self-centered dishonesty. So if I'm telling the truth these days, and I do tell the truth, and I tell it pretty with no candy coated, to, you know, and I got a delivery that if you catch me most of the time, it's a little bit direct. Just a little bit. You know, and if I got on my sponsees, I said, I got three levels of suggestion. Now, if I don't know you, I'll just suggest. And if I know you somewhat, I'll highly suggest. But if you're one of my sponsees, I'm going to strongly suggest. How many are the real deal? How many are real alcoholics and or drug addicts? How many y'all done a fifth step? Keep your hand up if you have. How many y'all made it through your ninth step already? All right. How many y'all practicing 10, 11, and 12? You know you're doing 12, but it's by sitting in the seat tonight. You know that? You show up and put your butt in the seat. That's 12-step work. All you got to do is show up. You know the only part of this thing we got to do 100%? It's the first part of the first step. What's that first part of the first step say? Hold on. That first word is what? We. How many times I heard that? We. We. I was going, we. I almost had to go to the bathroom. The I's become we. And the me's become us. But on my own, I can't stay clean and sober. I need help. I need help. Three word hardest, one a real hard thing for alcoholic drug addict to say. There's another phrase that says three words, and it's, I don't know. Because you know what? Shit, I know everything. I don't need no stinking help. Go and die. So now I need help. When I tell them I need help, I let you know. If I don't know something, I'll tell you. I don't know. Go ask him. He might know. Go ask her. You know, they say men, men, boys, ladies, ladies. You know, it's a good suggestion in the beginning, but we're not getting into the do's and don'ts of recovery. This is, if you owe something to Austin Recovery, your life, or if you want to come back, one thing that man, it'd be great if come September 24th we had 500 people out here. You know one way we can get 500 people out here? You know one way we can do that? By y'all going around telling people that you know that went through Austin Recovery about September 24th we're having a reunion. Why don't you come? And tell them this way, if Austin Recovery might have saved your damn life, get your ass out here and come to the reunion. If they get mad at you, well, then go find the next one. This ain't about feelings. This about, you know, if you got to give a resentment, it's better to give one than get one. And you can get rid of it. You know, today, you know, resentment is... Rescinding, you know, and they say it's the number one offender. It kills more alcoholics than anything else. They say resentment is vital. It's poison. No, it's poison. It's grave. It's death. And it's in those two paragraphs. What's the other word? Fatal. So, you know, in two paragraphs when them guys wrote that book and that woman back in 39, I think they were trying to tell us something, that resentments kill. So we can't afford them. So if you haven't gotten through the work yet, keep working. The work is the 12 steps. You know, this is great. This is fellowship. This is Austin Recovery Reunion. But this ain't going to keep you sober. Meetings aren't going to keep you sober alone. I was told there was five things you do on a daily basis. And once we start practicing and practicing, we're never going to be perfect, but we're going to get better. Practice makes better, not perfect. That just came out. Does that sound right? Anyway, point being... here we are, right here. Shoot, that's 11 minutes after 8. The same date, same night, same year. 11 minutes after 8, everything's still okay, ain't it? No matter what you're thinking, how you feeling? What y'all doing? Staying sober. I tell you what, ain't nothing in the world going to change you and make anything better. A drink and drug ain't going to make anything better. And I know a lot of y'all know what I'm talking about because a lot of us went out and done some research, did more research and experimenting. Maybe it'll work this time. I just take one hit. Shit, can't really do that, can I? Can't take one sip. Something happens. I need more. So the only way to not get high is total abstinence. And how do we do that? We just don't drink and drug no matter what. If the thought comes, we don't have to act on it. I was told in the get-go once, if the thought comes, you know, the alcohol was lifted. But to tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to smoke crack cocaine for 9 months. But I didn't because I gave me this kit of spiritual tools and told me how to use them. So I wouldn't have to smoke no matter what I was thinking, no matter what the situation was, how grave it was, or how happy I am. You know, because I do things weird when I'm happy. Besides me, you know, it don't matter how I feel or what I'm thinking. You know, it's what we do. And if we do, you know, so I was told, okay, you go upstairs, ask God to take it away. Take away my craving. And then, you know, they say it only lasts 10 minutes. I say, yeah, but you son of a gun didn't tell me it was 6 to an hour, 24 hours a day. In 9 months, my craving, my obsession for crack cocaine was lifted in a dream. And that's a whole nother story. But eventually, I didn't woke up and I didn't want to smoke crack no more. And that was a nice day. And I hadn't wanted to smoke it since. I got this PTSD and I got this thing that I live with, and it's called the dreams. And my dreams are not nice. And it might be the cross I bear. So because I live with this, I got to do this. Doesn't matter what happens in my subconscious when I'm sleeping. When I wake up, some of them are freebies, and I go, oh, that was cool. Other ones aren't so cool. But it's only a dream. I get up and do the same thing every day, try to do it better. And the meat and potatoes behind this whole thing is a spiritual connection. Without a spiritual connection, this man ain't got nothing. So that's the number one priority in my life, is to grow along a spiritual line. And when we do that, life gets easier. Page 52 in the big book, it's in chapter 2, under chapter 4 under We Agnostics. And it says, bewilderments, they're called. Page 52, second full paragraph. It's another word for it's untreated alcohol or drug addiction. So, you know, if you're not feeling good, go read page 52. And if you got any of those things hanging over you, maybe we got some work to do. How many of y'all are scared right now? Raise your hand. Tell the truth. If you're scared, raise your hand. How many of y'all are angry? Who's got anger? Okay. Resentments and anger are a byproduct of fear. There's two ends of the emotional spectrum of life. I'm either living in love, or on the other end, I'm living in fear. And fear to love, there's 100 different forms. So what we try to do is get out of self, find a power greater than ourselves. We come to trust, seek, trust, and rely upon that. And we'll be able to match calamity with serenity, which means we can walk through anything. That means fear. Love comes from L-O-V-E. When I was growing up, I knew what love was. L-U-V, come on now. That's the only love I knew, because I was a selfish, self-centered, dishonest little peckerwood. There was no room for anything else. Today I know what love is from the heart. I know what joy is, too. I know what a relationship is. I don't have one. I don't have a woman in my life. I got a bunch of women that are my friends. I got a bunch of men that are my friends. And then I got people that are just that I just talked to. You know, we agree to disagree, and I don't really like some of them. And they don't have to like me. And that ain't none of my business. But I can just leave them alone. You know? If I'm walking past somebody and we don't have an association, I'll say, good morning or hello. You know, and just leave it at that. But, you know, I don't have the power to know what's going on between the ears of any man or woman at any given moment. If you think about that, right this second, I don't know what's going on in any of y'all's mind. But I know what's going on in my mind. Nothing. I guess I better quit on that one, huh? Keep coming back. What was that? Keep coming back. Don't leave. Get involved. These people need help around here.
They need all the help they can get. So you're going to, yeah, I'll be back. I'll be out here September 24th. Probably be here a few Sundays sitting back there in the back where that gentleman is. He's sitting back there observing, watching everybody get happy, watching everybody get better, watching people do the work and grow, watching that freedom come. Once you start getting through that ninth step, people, the guilt, the shame, the remorse, and the self-pity will start disappearing. Once we start doing that ninth step, the guilt, shame, remorse, and self-pity will start to disappear. Anybody got any of that stuff working now? Guilt, shame, remorse, and self-pity? Well, hell, get busy and get through that ninth step. It'll disappear. Won't it? Yeah. Won't it? Yeah. Hector, won't it? Yeah, hell yeah. Say yes. Yes. If you've done it, this is testimony. This is experience from people that have done the work. You do the work, you get better. You do the work, the guilt, shame, remorse, and self-pity will disappear. And that's the truth. You're still going to have stuff going on because we're human. But we're trying to turn them liabilities into assets. And we can't do that on our own. Spiritual connection, the meat and potatoes of this whole thing. God bless every one of you. Thanks for letting me be here.